The 1 year episode. That's right. Well, we've been around for more than a year. We started in September of 2018, but this is the 365th episode of the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we obviously have some things to talk about. One of those things is naturally Andrel Anthony committing to the Wolverines. That's why I let the podcast slide all the way until late at night, because needed to get that going. Wanted to be sure, didn't want to come on and be like he's committed. Because listen, I talked to Andrel earlier today, and I was like, because he called me up, and I said, hey, can you tell me that it is definitively Michigan without, granted, we already knew that, but I'm like, can you tell me that? I'm not going to put it anywhere. I just want to get a quote from you or something to put in the article so that when you do commit, I have a reaction. And he's like, let's wait until after. I'll call you later. After I do the commitment. I haven't heard from him yet. So I'm sure there, if you go to Rivals and 24/7 Sports, there's plenty of stuff up there. I didn't end up going because I had talked to Audrey Dahlgren, who is at WLNS, and it was supposed to be an exclusive for them. And Andrel told me that I could come up there, but he told me that Bryce Marich and EJ Holland were going to be there, but I wanted to respect the fact that Audrey had put this all together, so I didn't go. Plus, I have this little monster named Zuri who's demanding a lot of attention. But we're going to talk a bit about Andrel Anthony, the commitment to Michigan. I mean, it was just a week ago today that we had Steve Lorenz on the podcast, and he was saying back then, going to Michigan State, things changed. So we're going to obviously talk about that. I asked what topics you wanted to talk about. So in the Andrel one, we have a couple we're gonna work in, of course. Got Brandon Carpenter who asked a question. You know, we'll go through those in the middle, because what I'll do is I'll talk about what I think. We'll talk about your questions with Andrel Anthony, and then we'll get to the other topics that you guys wanted to hear about. Because we're crowdsourcing, because there's not a lot going on, but obviously this is a big deal. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was one of your questions as well. So it's perfect. And Andrel committed to Michigan. I mean, it is giant for the sake of the fact that anytime you can get a guy who was going to go to your rival, whether it's Ohio State or Michigan State, it's excellent. It's an excellent situation. It's even more amazing considering, and I don't know if you know this, but Andrel Anthony is rated 529 in the country right now. Okay. He would have been the highest rated commitment in Michigan State at the moment. I don't know who all their targets are. We'll look that up here in a moment, but I mean, they're ranked 12th in the Big Ten, according to 24/7 Sports, ranked 63 nationally, and their highest rated commit is Ethan Boyd, the offensive tackle, ranked 664 overall. So, I mean, and I'm looking at these names. These are guys I haven't heard of, and it's no offense to those players. I'm sure they're fine recruits. But, I mean, I haven't heard of any of these guys. Now, Ethan Boyd is a guy that plays with Andrel at East Lansing High School. So I'm sure he felt really good about it. It was that visit that he made over the weekend that sealed things for him. He also told EJ Holland that Giles Jackson and Nico Collins played a factor, and that the brotherhood that he's formed with the class, like I surmised on the podcast yesterday, is what kind of reeled him in. So, pretty incredible. I'm looking at, according to what Sean Shearer put together on 24/7 Sports, their top targets. There's only two others. One has no ranking whatsoever in 2021. The other one is ranked 984. So, in the composite. They have four commits that have no rankings otherwise. Now, one of them is a punter from Australia, so whatever. Who cares about that? But otherwise, I mean, obviously, they're in on Donovan Edwards. I mean, I doubt they're going to get Tristan Lee, LJ Johnson, Rocco Spindler. I don't know about some of these other guys that are on here. But MSU could find themselves in a situation without any four stars in this class. This is the kind of thing that I talked about when Mel Tucker got hired. Yes, I think he's going to make recruiting better. He came on late, right? But you have to remember, and this is something a colleague had mentioned to me today. He said, listen, he wasn't coming to MSU until they doubled the offer. It's kind of hard to sell a school when that is public knowledge, right? It's hard to you can sit there and say, like, yeah, I'm all about it. But I mean, he recommitted to staying at Colorado. And I don't think he recognized how difficult it was going to be going from Colorado and having been defensive coordinator at Georgia, I believe it was, right? Under Kirby Smart. You're in a talent-rich state like Georgia. I mean, I'm sure he's got those connects still, but when I look at their targets, Nyland Green's from Georgia, Nathaniel Wiggins, and there's just not a lot of Georgia guys on there. Or, you know, I mean, I'm sure Colorado's not exactly a big-time place either, but they're just looking at the people that they're targeting. It isn't national, and Michigan, I mean, you don't expect Michigan State to be national. You expect them to be regional, but if you're a guy like Mel Tucker, you've got to start over. You better hope that Belleville starts paying off, right? Because that's really the only way that you're going to be able to get anything done. Because you better be able to hit Belleville, Cass Tech. You got to get the guys, obviously, Michigan doesn't want. But the guys that Michigan hasn't gone hard after lately, that they haven't wanted, have gone to Purdue, have gone to Indiana. They haven't stayed in state. So you've got a bit of a problem. I think Michigan State is potentially in a world of hurt here. I think there's a good shot that they don't. This is going to be a huge setback for them unless Mel Tucker and his staff are just elite, elite, elite coaches. Because here's the thing that I said to that colleague. I don't know what their identity is. I don't know how their identity is any different from Mark D'Antonio, and tangibly, it's worse. Because Mark D'Antonio was at least a national championship winning defensive coordinator who went to Cincinnati and turned it right the heck around, right? D'Antonio was Brian Kelly before Brian Kelly. I think I've got my timelines right there. Maybe I don't. But that's a difficult proposition, right? I might be behind here. Because he was the head coach. Brian Kelly was the head coach at Cincinnati from 2007 through 2009. So, yeah, Mark D'Antonio was Brian Kelly before Brian Kelly. He was the guy at Cincinnati doing the work. So it's kind of incredible when you think about Mel Tucker. What does he do? He doesn't bring any kind of offense that's exciting, that's going to allure guys like Andrell Anthony. You know, they're not opening it up. It sounds like it's going to be pretty much the same thing they've been doing before. Old school pro style. Defensively, maybe they'll be pretty good on defense. I'm not sure. What was Colorado last year? I can't imagine that Colorado had a terribly good defense nationally. I mean, it is that, but I mean, it's not really a national program, but I mean, they're 104th nationally in the Pac-12 total defense wise. Colorado was eighth. So it's, I don't know what MSU does. That's great. I have no idea. I don't know what Mel Tucker does. That's great. We at least know Michigan's going to have a really good defense, and we know that they are going to be the speed and space offense. If you're MSU, you better have an identity and you better find it quick. Let's continue talking about this on the other end. All right, so you guys had some questions when it comes to the Andrell Anthony thing. We're going to get to that, and then I'm going to finish off with more of your questions. Let's start with my brother in metal, Michael Wolf, who asks, how mad is Sparty? I haven't been to RCMB, but I can't imagine that it's very good. I'm sure that there's, but I mean, they've had a couple days to kind of prepare for this at the same time. So I think that they've, it seems like they haven't been as crazy the few times I've gone there in the last however long. Like it used to just be super obsessed with Michigan, and lately it doesn't seem like it is. I mean, I see there's a Bo New, you know, thing about the Bo Schembechler, Don Canham story. There's another thing about the Bo statue. I don't see anything about that. It's a bunch of stuff about that, which, I mean, fair. I mean, they got dunked on by Michigan fans with Larry Nassar stuff. But nothing about the recruiting. I'm sure it's in the VIP thread there. Seems like it's probably relatively contained. But yeah, it's I can't tell if they're really mad at all. So it's obviously not going to be very good for them. I can't imagine. Well, I am seeing some stuff. Screw him. He's a scum. Most pathetic thing I've ever read on RCMB, and that's saying something. And this is responding to, it says, an observation, this kid had a choice of two schools with black head coaches, Penn State and Michigan State, and chose one with a wacko white guy, scum. So that person's saying something to that. Nonetheless, I mean, I'm sure they're seething, right? There's no way that they're not seething about it. MG Brady, the Andrell Anthony commitment seems like a dagger for MSU with the current state of both programs. How do you foresee this rivalry over the next 5 years? Feels like U of M will roll. I don't see any way they don't, again, because they don't have an identity. Like I said, they don't have the recruits. We don't know that Coach T is going to come in and coach him up like the way Coach D did. We have no evidence of that. All we have of Mel Tucker is a 5-7 season at Colorado. I can't confidently say that Michigan State is going to be better than Indiana. I can't confidently say that Michigan State is going to be able to contend with the Nebraskas of the world, which theoretically should be on the up and up. I mean, Scott Frost hasn't done an incredible job, but it seems like it's a minute, you know, it can break open. Purdue, I don't know that there's anything that tells me that they could potentially even be better than Rutgers. Rutgers brought in Greg Schiano, and Greg Schiano had Rutgers very close to being in the BCS several years ago. Yeah, it was 12 years ago or whatever, 13 years ago. But still, Greg Schiano at least knows how to recruit at Rutgers. Now, no, he didn't have to play against Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State every year when he was in the Big East or whatever it was called at that time. But nonetheless, Rutgers was a bottom feeder that became a national power for a couple years under Greg Schiano. I can't say with any kind of certainty that Michigan State is going to be better than Rutgers in 5 years. And considering that the last year of Coach D'Antonio against Michigan, you know, he still has some good recruits on that roster. Jordan Reed, who, by the way, was saying, you know, said something about not wanting to play because of COVID. And listen, I know Jordan Reed, but Devontae Dobbs, Julian Barnett, they've got a couple players right now. But who'd they get in their last class? Here's the other thing. I don't even know who they got in their last class. I'm going to look in their 2020 commits. I wonder how many of these guys I'm even familiar with. Dallas Fincher, the offensive guard from East Kentwood. Familiar with him? And I'm just looking down their list. It's a bunch of guys I have no idea who they are. Their highest rated recruit was 415th in the country. That's really difficult. It's going to be really hard to beat Michigan if that's the case. Let alone all the other Big Ten powers. Michael Post asked, was poaching Anthony a big slash little brother thing, a hedge against a different wide receiver decommit, or an unearthing of a sleeper? This isn't an unearthing. Michigan was hard after him before COVID. And it kind of seemed to dwindle off a bit, especially when Michigan got Marcus Allen, Christian Dixon, Xavier Worthy, and Anthony still wanted to be a part of it. He is an electric athlete. He's a guy that Alan True from 24/7 Sports, national recruiting analyst, projects as a starter in the Power Five. So he's a very good player. It's a bonus that it worked out that it was a guy that looked like he was going to go to Michigan State. But no, he's a guy that Michigan wanted forever. It just didn't seem like they were going to get these four guys, right? So, seems kind of crazy. All right, we're going to end this segment on this note, because Five Alarm asks, will they play? I have this inside intel, you guys. I know exactly what's going on. No one else knows. Jim Harbaugh doesn't know. Ryan Day doesn't know. Nick Saban doesn't know. But I know. No. Come on. You'll know the same time everyone else knows. All right. We're going to continue. There's a couple different things that are asked still. And I do want to point out, Tyler asks, if your topic isn't poking fun at Lil Bro, I would like to suggest that. Obviously, that was going to be one of the things that we discussed. But there's a couple more questions and some of the things that I wanted to get to anyway. So we will get to that momentarily. All right. So we'll start off with this because it's kind of the same situation. Brandon Carpenter asks, says, I know you touched on it in the mailbag, but can we talk about this receiver room come 2021? Now, let's keep in mind that this is talking about when Michigan takes the field, the guys who are going to be on the field. Let's keep in mind Nico Collins is going to be gone. Barring there not being a season. If there's not a season and they let people have eligibility and Nico comes back, I mean, that's crazy. I'm not banking on any of those things I just said happening. I think that there will be a season still. Maybe it's because I'm an optimist. I have no inside info that's telling me any of that, but nonetheless. Anyway. But let's think about who the room probably would have in 2021 after 2020. So you've got Ronnie Bell as the holdover from the 2019 class. That's it, right? I can't think of any other guys that they had in 2019. Is that right? They only had Ronnie Bell? That seems crazy, but let me look into that. But obviously you have Giles Jackson. Definitely back because he's going into his third year. Cornelius Johnson, definitely back going into his third year. You have Mike Sainer still definitely back going into their third year. Which is crazy to think. They don't seem like third-year guys, right? Wait, these are 2019. Sorry, I meant 2018 class. Then you got the 2020 class. Sorry, I'm looking at the internet at the same time of all this. Seems crazy they only brought in Ronnie Bell. Seems like Ronnie, like that they had would have had more, but obviously they had Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black, Nico Collins, so didn't really have the pressing need to get more than one wide receiver. It seemed at that time. So then you got the three I just mentioned. Then you've got the two coming in this next class, AJ Henning and Roman Wilson, and then you've got these four guys. I think they aren't ranked totally as high, obviously, as the 2017, what do you call it, quad row? Not trio, but the four guys. But, I mean, it feels like there's no way that these guys can fail. It just feels that way. And, yeah, you got 2-3 stars, but you feel really good about those 3 stars. And then you feel really good about those 4 stars in Christian Dixon and Xavier Worthy. It just feels like a dream-like scenario, right? I mean, not everyone. I mean, you got to look at it and say not everyone is going to matriculate and become what we think they all can become. But what if they do? I mean, it's just an insane group. I mean, maybe I'm just saying that they can't all become that because that's what we're accustomed to. But maybe at other schools, maybe at Alabama, you know, maybe that's what happens. I don't know, man. It has the look of being a situation where think back to 2015, right? Going into that season, you're like, well, I hope Darbo and Chesson can be really good. But who did they have aside from those guys, right? I mean, I honestly, at this point, have to look it up because I can't even remember who they had at wide receiver aside from those guys. That tells you where Michigan's pass game was coming out of 2014. Guess what? They had no one else really except for Grant Perry. Jehu Chesson, Amara Darbo, and then a bunch of non-wide receivers, Grant Perry, and then no one until Mo Ways, Drake Harris, DeMario Jones. I don't even remember DeMario Jones. Says he played in 5 games and had a reception. That means I probably have a picture of him. Freddie Canteen was still on the team. Says Brian Cole got a reception. That doesn't even seem right. It seemed like he was gone before the season started, but I mean, gosh, they had 2.5 guys. Well, Grant Perry was pretty decent. It was a true freshman year. They had 3 guys, 2.5 guys. 2021, they could have legitimately like 8 or 9 guys that we're talking about. Legit. That is just insane. Here's the other thing I wanted to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about. Robert asked, what are your thoughts on freshmen and incoming players saying they're going to change the Michigan-Ohio State series around? My thoughts is you better do it. But I also like the moxie, right? I got some responses to my article yesterday. It was really only one that I saw saying, like, you know, I'm tired of the talking coming out of Ann Arbor. Prove it on the field. Listen, they're not in Ann Arbor. They can whatever. But you better back it up. Right. If you're going to say stuff like Christian, if you don't know, is Christian Dixon posted the graphic that said all of the Christian Dixon and Rod, was it Rod Moore? No, not Rod Moore. Marcus Allen, I guess. Christian Dixon, wide receiver commit. Marcus Allen, other wide receiver commit. They both posted this graphic that showed the last 10 years Michigan had the one win against Ohio State. Granted, it's been longer than that. Christian Dixon said something like, you know, about, you know, remind me that I posted this or something like that. Marcus Allen was a little bit more of like, you know, says this is going to change. Listen, you want at least guys to have that type of confidence. You don't want them going in and being like, oh, geez, oh, shucks. Well, hopefully we can figure something out, but it doesn't look good. You don't want that. So at least you do want the bravado. I would caution about putting the bravado out there on social media until it gets done. But listen, they're high schoolers. They're not on campus. I'm sure if they were on campus, coach is going to be like, listen, you can say whatever's on your mind on social media, but maybe don't say that. Don't give them bulletin board material. It's not really giving these guys bulletin board material that for this next time they play. These guys aren't even going to be on campus. If that's what it takes to fire Ohio State up, I mean, come on. But I just say be careful. Because it does seem like Ohio State is a group that they feed off of chum that's given to them when it comes to this rivalry. Michigan needs to be the same. So you need it to change. You need them to be this way. Because you see Travion Henderson and you see others that are commits in this class talking about Michigan. And I don't think any Ohio State fans have problems with that. Granted, Ohio State has been beating the tar out of Michigan lately. More than lately. But those guys aren't on campus yet. Really good Ohio State teams in the history have lost to mediocre Michigan teams. So weirder things have happened. But I don't know. Just back it up. You better find a way to back it up. That's all I got. Last thing for today. Nope, go blue, man, says, expectations for a season that will be remembered for the pandemic rather than wins and losses. I don't know, man. Just win your home slate and show market improvement, I guess. If that Ohio State game, especially if it's early in the season, show market improvement. I'm not counting that to be a win. But you gotta crawl before you can walk. And I really wanted to say you gotta walk before you can crawl because I'm a big Ocean's 11 fan. But ultimately, that's the thing, is you've got to find a way to at least get things competitive. It's in Columbus. Yeah, there's, you know, going to be max 20% fans, according to Ohio State. So it's a little hard to whatever. But yeah. It's an uphill battle. Figure out a way to make that competitive. Beat Wisconsin, Penn State, and Michigan State. Beat Minnesota on the road. If, you know, assuming all those games, division, cross-divisional games hold and location and whatever, beat Minnesota on the road because you got to kill whatever narratives you can. You're not probably going to be able to kill the Ohio State game. At least I don't have the faith that they will. Until otherwise, they prove me wrong. Having been, you know, watching this for a long time, I can't imagine that that's suddenly going to change. Maybe it will, but at least get it back to respectability. I think that that's the thing. All right, that'll do it. I hope we'll do something over the weekend. Not 100% sure, but I have an idea. We'll see if I can get it executed. That is probably the contingent for the weekend. Definitely appreciate you listening to the Lockdown Wolverines podcast. We're always glad to have you. Yeah, that's it. Peace.